Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Shocking news that Justice Scalia has passed away. This was certainly unexpected on a hunting vacation trip in Texas. Now we have the issue of replacing this originalist, the one who led the way in focusing on the original understanding of the Constitution. We're going to be talking about his death and the future on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com. Matt, this was shocking news. I received the news on late Saturday afternoon. I hoped when I went to go look at some additional information that it was a rumor, but unfortunately it was true. Justice Scalia passed away sometime after he went to bed on Friday night, and the time that he was found dead in his bed in this resort in Texas when he was there on a hunting vacation trip. Shocking news, because this was a man who was a giant on the Supreme Court, if you will, someone who was very friendly, cordial, but also who was a brilliant mind that focused on the original understanding of the Constitution, and that is what America will miss.
Well, Justice Antonin Scalia, I had the pleasure of meeting him on a couple occasions, met him in law school. Just a brilliant mind, a godly man, and a man who took his job on the Supreme Court as a United States Supreme Court justice very seriously. He recognized that that it was a duty given to him to interpret the Constitution. He was a constitutionalist, an originalist, and really was a counterbalance to the five liberals on the Supreme Court that really buy into this living, breathing model of the Constitution and view their position on the Supreme Court as an opportunity to engage social change and social justice, if you will, which is, progressivism. And so he will be sorely missed. And now, regrettably, of course, within moments of his death, the Twitter sphere lit up, and Facebook, and just started reading people grave dancing and celebrating his death, and also insisting that this President Obama, for the first time in 80 years, that he would ram through during an election year another some kind of leftist to replace Justice Scalia.
Yeah, let's look at his life and his death. We have had the opportunity, the pleasure to be able to know Justice Scalia both on and off the bench. I've argued before him at the United States Supreme Court the first time in 1994, and again later on a Ten Commandments case. We filed lots of briefs before the Supreme Court. We have had him write specifically on our cases, and we've also had the opportunity to meet him personally as when I was at the law school at Liberty University, the dean of the law school, we had the opportunity to have law school students in the summer as part of our Liberty Counsel externship program meet him at the United States Supreme Court for private briefings and discussions regarding the law. He's been someone who is very cordial. We've had dinner at the Supreme Court Historical Society with Justice Scalia, sitting at the same table. He's always the life of the party, if you will. He is someone who is very outgoing, has a wide breadth of information and knowledge about a lot of things, and someone who can really engage in conversation. Very delightful individual. Such delightfulness comes from him that he was best friends or good friends with Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, even though ideologically they were completely in different universes, yet they were good friends. They went to opera together. They enjoyed each other's company. That's the kind of individual he was. He was able to meet with people on other sides of the issues that he believed in dearly, and he didn't compromise his views, but he was cordial to them and had great friendships on a wide spectrum. So that's the kind of man that he is. But from the legal perspective, he led the charge. Now, there's other ones up there as well, like Clarence Thomas. But he certainly was very outspoken in leading the charge to say that the Constitution means what it says and the Supreme Court justices should not go beyond it. Originalism is what he often was called, someone who focused on the original understanding of the Constitution at the time that it was written. So when the Constitution speaks, then the Supreme Court justices could speak, and when it doesn't speak, they shouldn't speak. So as an example, he would say, on the issue of the generalized right of privacy and abortion, there is no such thing in the Constitution, and he's right. So therefore, the Supreme Court should say nothing about that. It is going beyond the Constitution to say anything about abortion in that respect. And then also on the same-sex marriage issue, the same thing. Nothing to do with the Constitution. So he was a very strong advocate. Now that his seat is vacant, many of those 5-4 decisions, and we'll talk about some of the implications of this, many of those 5-4 decisions could be 4-4, meaning that there would be no real decision from the Supreme Court. And not only that, without his advocacy on the bench, it could actually tilt the other way. So his absence is critical. I can't begin to even emphasize how important it is that we fill that position with someone like him who is an adherent to the original understanding and meaning of the Constitution.
Well, and Justice Scalia, he did say, if I, you know, when I do pass, I would hate to see my replacement, and I'm paraphrasing here, that I would hate to see my spot, my position on the Supreme Court filled with someone who does not likewise reflect an originalist view of the U.S. Constitution. And but regrettably, there is a battle now. There is going to be a battle here in this election year. And as Ted Cruz and other candidates, Republican candidates have said, this is a non-starter. I mean, you know, the Republicans are not going to push through in any Obama nominee at this point in time. Neither should they.
No, they shouldn't. In fact, you know that Obama would appoint someone who is completely opposite of Scalia. Certainly has the right to be able to nominate someone. That's his right. And yet at the same time, the Senate has the right not to approve it. So that's their right as well. And that's how the Constitution sets up this balance. The president nominates. Obama will certainly nominate. He'll nominate someone who's going to be very left-leaning, someone who doesn't believe in the original understanding of the Constitution, somebody who wants to just simply pontificate whatever their view is. We already have people on the Supreme Court like that he's nominated, Kagan and Sotomayor. And we've had some that Clinton has nominated as well that are there. So they just say whatever they want to say. Now, the Senate, I believe, needs to be very, very strong. I'm so concerned about this because the future of America literally hangs in the balance. They need to block any Supreme Court nominee that President Obama brings their way, and they need to wait for the next election for the next president to ultimately appoint that particular successor to Justice Scalia.
They absolutely have to. And what kind of cracks me up, Matt, is to hear all the crocodile tears from the left, to hear Hillary Clinton and others saying that they're being remiss and avoiding their constitutional duties here. Yet you'll recall during the Bush presidency, you had people like Chuck Schumer, who is now saying that they must, you know, vote an up or down vote on a Obama nominee. He said that they shouldn't not confirm any Bush nominee to the Supreme Court except in extraordinary circumstances. And President Obama himself, when he was a senator, filibustered Justice Samuel Alito. So the hypocrisy abounds at this point of time, and the mainstream media certainly is not going to get that message out.
And Schumer actually advocated that they should not confirm any nomination, not just Supreme Court, lower court, appellate court, and Supreme Court, that they should not affirm any across the board, just stop. And that's even more widespread than just focusing on Justice Samuel Alito or Justice Scalia at the U.S. Supreme Court. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, continue to follow this critically important issue, lc.org. That's lc.org. We need to make our voice very well heard, loud and clear, over and over again to the members of the United States Senate, beginning with the Senate Judiciary Committee, and then moving to the leadership of the U.S. Senate and all the other senators as well that are representing you in your individual states. We're going to get information on our website, both Liberty Counsel, but particularly Liberty Counsel Action. I encourage you to go to that website as well, lcaction.org, lcaction.org, and then libertycounsel.com, libertycounsel.com. We're going to be having petitions that we're going to participate in. We want you to be a part of that to make your voice known. We want the Senate Judiciary Committee to not approve any nominee. I mean, it is absolutely critical. We're going to be talking about it this week on Faith and Freedom in terms of the implications of this vacant seat. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, for prayer and for resources. Remember Liberty Counsel.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.